Morning Show on Radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, it's Sam and Sherry in the morning. To join the show, dial 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. And now, here's your morning show hosts, Sam and Sherry.
And indeed, we're here.
We are. All in one piece.
All in one piece on October 16th. It's a Friday.
Can you believe
and
how fast it's going?
Beautiful Sherry is in the studio. We got to make sure we get that.
I hate
in.
You. I still went home and thought about it yesterday. I'm like, you're such an attention whore, Sherry. Stop it.
No, you're right. But you deserve equal treatment, if not more. So.
Okay.
You know, since you brought up the other co-hosts, I couldn't defend myself.
Well, because I had just happened to be listening to them, and you were like, wow, you look hot today, or wow, you're beautiful, yeah. You're this. And I was like, oh, I'm just the one with the good personality. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start coming in baseball caps and no makeup and in sweats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know you're hot. I don't have to tell you.
I know.
Day, right? But then you mentioned that...
That men always assume stuff like
yeah,
that.
That's true.
That you should just know.
That you should know, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
And but I think everybody should do that with one another. Not just men towards women. Women should always remind men, you know, how smart they are, how big they are.
Thank you.
How big they are. How good they are.
Yeah.
You know, all that kind of stuff. So you never want to take people for granted.
I see. Okay.
Anyway, so October 16th, don't you remember? Like, I feel like it was just yesterday that I said to you, wow, this month's going fast.
And, yes.
And it was only like
when
the 4th.
Was that?
You don't remember anything.
No, I mean, am I supposed to remember what day of the week you said
You're supposed
that?
To remember every word that comes out of my mouth.
Oh, yeah? You got the wrong man. For the job.
Obviously, I know. You reminded me yesterday on Facebook. He said, do you think I remember anything you say? I was like, all right, silly me. He doesn't remember anything the guests say. And it'd be like a reminder.
Yeah, well, it's just you setting me up for that. So I can't, you know, I see an opening, I got to take
gotcha.
It.
Gotcha. You know? Okay, yeah. Well, at least, you know, at least you're catching the bait.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did the people at your table leave last night?
Oh, my God.
Did
okay.
They leave you
I have
any
to say something to people. Yeah, 20%, but
yeah.
Not worth when the
not
whole entire the kitchen is like walking out. They've packed up their knives, and I'm just standing there.
Really?
And
these guys are still sitting there?
Yeah,
the last
just talking.
Month?
And this is like to listeners who go out to restaurants. Like, whether you're in the restaurant industry or not, I mean, if you're completely done eating and you just want to sit and talk, by all means, like the managers will never kick you out of the restaurant.
Right.
But that server has been working for hours and would like to go home, has two jobs, has an hour drive home. Everybody's out. I have research to do for sharing with Sherry. I've got stuff to do. But I just sit there nicely and, you know, the other servers are like, do you want me to go fart by the table?
Yeah, sounds like a good idea.
Well, I used to have a manager that would do that. Would
really?
Just like walk by and just let one go.
Where do you meet all these people?
All these weird
restaurants.
Well, yeah, they go to the restaurant industry. But yeah, they finally left and they were nice. And I mean, there are little tricks to get people to pay, you know, like you pretend like you think that their money is in the check presenter and
oh,
you're like,
really?
Oh, I'll be right back with this. And
yeah.
Then they're like, oh, no, we haven't. And then they start going through their wallet. Uh-huh. But I always feel really guilty about that. So I just sit around
and wait.
Watch them turn the lights all the way on and start putting chairs up on tables now. But no, you should be respectful. I mean, just like the average person wants to get out of their job at the end of the day, mm-hmm. So do we.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I can't believe some places you go to, and not necessarily fast food places, mm-hmm. Like there is a there's an Italian place out here where they have like tables outside and
uh-huh.
Stuff. We went to have something to eat there like the other night, right? And it's 9 o'clock, quarter to nine or something. Then they start like putting all the fucking chairs on the tables around us while we're eating. That is like the worst, rudest fucking thing
it
you can do,
rude.
Right?
It is rude. Can I ask you a question? Were you there after hours or were they still open?
No. They were closing.
Right.
Obviously.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
When we came, it was still open.
Right.
Yeah.
No. They should not be doing that.
I
like
know.
We at least like wait to start like
yeah.
Really doing stuff like that.
It doesn't feel right. I mean, you know, it's like you feel you're being kicked out. And
well, yeah, I mean, sometimes they are kicking you out.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you have, like, I worked with a manager that always had plans after work and always wanted to get out of there. And right around closing time, he would start to turn the music down,
yeah.
Lights up, and it would make the people feel really unwelcome and wanting to go.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they were being rude to you.
I mean, that's fucking bullshit, you know? They are being rude, you know? Next
no, they
time
are being
I'll ask
rude.
For my money back. Really.
You know, but if you are there way after hours, at some point they've got to make a clue.
It
like,
was
hello.
That way after okay. Hours. They were getting ready to close.
Yeah, yes. No, I'm not saying you. I'm saying other
right.
People.
I see.
Gotcha.
Okay.
You're okay.
Yeah,
oh,
okay.
You're okay, Sam.
You're on the safe side.
It was all their fault.
No, so really, I mean, I was at a point where I wanted to write to the owners or something.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm sure if you did, they'd send you some, like, gift certificate for free food.
Yeah, so. But that's not
you don't even
want to
go back
for.
There.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck it.
Yeah, no, they, that, I mean, I've had people come and sweep by my feet.
Yeah.
I'm like, do you want to package my food to go for me?
I mean, yeah, exactly. Like, and all the dust in the air and stuff, you know, that they do in fast food restaurants.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I try not to go to at all.
Right.
You know?
Well, yeah, well, we definitely don't do that. I'm in fine dining, so, you know, yeah. we sit like assholes like myself and be like, please leave and write Facebook status updates. My manager comes by and is like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, just updating about our stupid guests that won't leave. Love and light.
God, with Facebook, nothing, you know, nothing stays private.
No, yet. I know. And remember I told you about that server that got fired from their job for tweeting, and I actually thought about that. I was like, should I be writing this right now? Because the president of our company is one of my Facebook friends.
Really?
Yeah.
Good.
So I was just like, don't write that they're stupid. Just write how you're waiting oh so patiently for them to leave.
Yeah. And you gave the name of the place you work on Facebook too.
No, I didn't.
Part of it, yeah.
Did I? Oh yeah, I totally did. Yeah, yeah. That I did. That was my old manager, another manager.
I see, yeah. So you might as well let the whole world know.
Well, I didn't say anything rude about them, right?
No,
I was very pleasant.
Yeah, but...
It was just a little sarcastic about them not leaving.
Okay.
Yeah. So this morning, because you know every day I do my Starbucks,
yes.
And I have a cappuccino espresso machine at home, but number one, I'm not really sure how to use it. Yeah. I mean, I know how to make them because I do them in my restaurant, but this particular machine, whatever, it just sits on my counter. It's never been used. Okay. And so I spend money every day, 5 days a week at Starbucks, which adds up because my drinks with all my shots and stuff in there are about $5.50 a day.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's
five
a
days
lot.
And 5 days a week. So, you know, you're assuming like...
Yeah, it's a tank
for mathematicians,
of gas or something.
I was going to try. So this morning... I decided I'm going to go a little larger today, and I went, instead of four shots, I did five, which I've never done, and then I thought, well, a medium size is a little small for all those shots, so I get a large. Anyway, long, $7.10. $7.10.
Oh, my God,
and then,
for one drink?
For one coffee, and but wait, it's not even just because I got larger. They said, oh, as of today, our prices went up, and I was like, went up? I can't even afford you 5 days a week. The extra shots that used to be 55 cents are now 70 cents. And soy milk that was 40 is now 50. So
really?
My five, yeah. I just looked at them and I was like, I got to learn how to make my use my machine at home.
Yeah, there you go.
But I don't want to. Yeah. But that's
crazy.
Well,
I can't see you spending $7 every day.
Well, I definitely won't ever get this size again. Yeah. That's just stupid. Yeah. Like a heart attack waiting
but
for me.
But why can't you get a normal coffee for $1.50?
Boring.
Well,
regular coffee.
Boring. Okay. Well, you're spoiled, so you pay for it. You know.
Well, I make my own money.
Yeah.
I can treat myself,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So don't sit here bitching.
No, but come on, Starbucks. They make enough money. They really need to raise it.
Yeah.
I mean, people haven't stopped going,
you know,
and getting
you're
coffee.
In business, you try to maximize your profits. You
they
know.
Have
if they can get away with it, they will.
Yeah. Well, they're gonna get you away know? With it because I'm not stopping going.
You see it, they know that.
I know, and I wanted to be like, well, forget it, I'm never coming in. I'm like, who are you kidding, Sherry? I'll be back tomorrow morning like, here, let me give you my whole bank account for this delicious yumminess in a cup.
Yeah. So what kind of coffee do you get?
Do I actually have to say it?
No.
So when I go
why
there,
not?
Well, because it's embarrassing.
Oh, really? Okay, so don't say
no,
it.
No, I mean, not embarrassing like that. Mean. I mean, I'm like one of those L.A. people. That's
yeah,
like,
you have to have it just right.
No, quad grande soy sugar-free cinnamon dolce latte. No whipped cream, extra sprinkles.
Like 180 degrees and all
no,
that
no, no,
shit?
See, I'm not that bad. Like, I don't say one equal. Like, first of all, I never understand people who tell them how many, like, Splendas or sugars to put in. Why can't, like, I'm not even that spoiled. Why can't you put it in yourself?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't get that.
Yeah.
But when my friends go with me, they're really embarrassed to order with me. And I said, really, I'm not asking for anything. I'm telling them the size of the cup I want, how many shots I want, what kind of milk I want, and the kind of syrup I want.
That's
like,
true.
I'm not doing anything excessive. I mean, if they offer it, I'm
exactly.
getting it, you know?
Yeah, they'll make it any way you want.
No, and they
that's
do.
What
and,
it's about.
And now they know my drink, so. Yeah. And then, I tip them sometimes, and I'm always nice to them, so.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Cool. So
and I give
down,
them all my money.
Yeah, so it comes out to $10 every time.
Damn it. This is going to be expensive. And now I'm realizing five shots is just dumb, because it's all just mostly milk in here.
Yeah.
And then by the time I get halfway through, I'm kind of getting full.
Yeah.
So I might not even drink it all. It's just dumb. That was a big waste of money. And then the worst thing is I didn't have a dime, so I had to give them, now I have 90 cents to around in my pocket.
Yeah. The problems of survival, man.
Can you imagine? God. Like, these are the biggest things I'm complaining about. Yeah. I've got 90 cents in my pocket. I don't know what to do with it. I'm weird.
Trials and tribulations.
Yes. I got a stupid hair in my face. Are you having allergies?
You always have that in your face.
No, this is a different one.
Oh, okay. A different hair.
Well, I mean, it's like one particular one that's like going up my nose. And okay. Like, and it's, I'm going to keep blowing.
That's okay. Take your time.
Busy sticking my tongue out trying to get the hair off my mouth. Speaking of hair in my mouth, so why do exes keep showing up?
I can see the segue there.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so I just have to say
so
this.
So an ex showed up?
No, not just... Okay, so you know I've gone out with that guy from 5 years ago.
Right.
And we've been communicating, right. And he's been listening to my show. And
does he have a name, or should we give him a name or something? So we don't have to keep saying the guy from 5 years
let's
ago?
Let's call him Buddhist.
Buddhist?
Because he's a Buddhist.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. The Buddhist, he... Okay, so he thinks, actually we joke about it, that his courting and getting to know me is listening to the radio show. Like, everything he sends me is something that I say, well, I heard you like this. I'm like, how about we stop listening to my show and you and I communicate?
Yeah, make it a two-way.
Right. No, I mean, we do communicate. It's just a joke. But he listened to the show the other day, the one where I talked about, he finally listened to it, about the alcohol and having to drink to be with him. And he told me he listened to it, and I said, so it didn't, like, you know, make you run away and like about my issues. And he said, no, not at all. He's like, actually makes me understand you more and even like you more for being so honest. I'm like, uh-oh.
Ah,
it's kind of scary. Because that means I got to stick to my word and not drink.
There you go.
No, and then yesterday I get this Facebook request from this guy that I went out with many years ago as well, who I didn't want to sleep with too. Because every time I start dating a guy, I want to do the right thing and like be courted and, you know, treated like a lady. So, you know, right. I turn off my sexuality first and then they leave because I don't have any sexuality. But I'm thinking these guys must be listening to the show.
Yeah.
Because it's the only reason why they could be popping up right now, because they're hearing about all the dirty things that I love and what they missed out on. And suddenly they're just like, you know.
The one that got away, you know.
Yeah. I mean, the ones that, you know, I had been intimate with before, those always come back because, you know, it was good for them. But the ones that I'm never intimate with, they don't come back. They are.
Yeah.
Like, that's weird.
They're coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah, because they think that I'm all dirty. Because then they're like, oh, she likes this?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I should give her one more date before I leave her.
Yeah, well, that's cool. I mean, you can just date him again and see what happens. No?
Well, no, I feel like you left me before because, you know, I wouldn't put out by date 3.
Right.
Screw you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. But it's just weird. It's weird that, you know.
Waiting after 3 dates is a long time. You know, I mean, if someone likes you, they want to get to your pants right away.
Yeah, but don't you think that if it's going to be long term, like you're going to have plenty of time to get to my pants, especially how sexual I am, like I'll be wanting not even go to work.
Plan to make it long term. Plan it for this moment.
Well,
right
now I am. Like then, before, as soon as I met someone, I'm like, okay, what is my name with their last name?
Yeah, exactly.
And then I'm writing hearts on my books and stuff, and like Sherry Hassan.
Oh no.
I know what I mean though. You know, I heart, you know, or together forever. I mean, not that bad, but in my head, like, really, I'm not. Now I'm just like, I mean, even, you know, it's really weird to know that people are listening, that you're kind of saying, I can't say everything that I'm feeling because then, you know, it gives everything away.
Yeah.
So right now I'm just open and I'm dating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Open and dating.
Open and dating.
Okay, sounds good.
Well, it's weird because I had nobody before, and like now that I'm being so open to the universe, like people are just kind of popping up right now.
Yeah, good.
I feel like it's a shoe store like we talked about yesterday.
Well, maybe you've become more accessible, you know? Who knows? Or people feel that you are.
Well, they listen to me on air and they're like, she is accessible. On her face, on her ass.
Three inputs.
TV. No. How's your morning been?
My morning has been good.
Did you sleep last night?
I did.
Good.
I slept, but never enough, of course.
You know?
But no, it was an uneventful morning, really.
I woke up before 4:30.
Yeah. Well, what happened there?
I don't know. Like, I've been sleeping really well, and then just this morning I was like, oh, is it time to wake up for work already? And then I looked and it was 4:30. I'm like, oh, great, I still have 2 more hours to sleep.
Right.
And then I just laid there.
Really?
Yeah. And then
you couldn't get back to sleep?
No, and then I thought, I think I told you before, but you don't listen anyway. So last time I went up on my roof and, you know, watched the sunrise, and I felt that I had this whole connection with my soulmate that's out there looking for me.
Right.
And which sounds really kooky and weird, and I'd send someone to an insane asylum who said that. I really would. But I have to tell you how real it was in this conversation that I had that morning that I was up on the roof. And so when I woke up this morning, I felt like...
The hair is still on your face, and
yeah,
it's driving me crazy. Here, pull it from up here. There you go.
Thank you. I was going the wrong way. Thank you. You saved my life. I owe you.
Damsel in distress.
The best I get. Move your hair aside, bitch. Okay. So I felt like this morning I was laying there and I said, oh, you're wanting me. It was the weirdest conversation in my head. I'm thinking, oh, you want me to go up there, don't you, again, and like have our second date. And I thought, you're crazy, Cherry. So
you're
I'm like,
losing it,
yeah,
Cherry.
Totally,
you're
losing really it. Are. I'm like, what happens if I start having an imaginary soulmate? But then I keep thinking, well, what happens if I think he's looking for me too? Like,
yeah.
I feel like we're on our way to each other. And some people dream about them, and I do, but I feel like mine's like coming to.
Yeah.
I know, it's hard to say. So
yours is a fucking incubus or something. I don't think it exists.
Shut your mouth. God, don't ever put that out there again. I sound like a loon. Oh my God, give me a straitjacket.
Well, you're the one putting it out there.
I know. No, yeah. But I'm only saying what I really felt that day, right, without being like, I mean, as kooky as I am. Like,
well, maybe it's happening to you.
Well,
I mean,
so then
look,
I,
if you believe
well, I told him, I said, if you love me, you're going to let me stay in bed right now and not be mad at me for not going up to the roof at 4:30 in the morning. I was like, can you come at a later time, please? So I stayed in bed and fell back asleep, and then I woke up with a smile on my face. So I think he kind of came to me in my dream.
Really? That's a complicated conversation to have with
a
ghost.
Oh, my God, my whole
something.
Life is complicated with ghosts. It's not a ghost.
Well, whatever
dead.
It is.
He's my soulmate.
Okay.
I don't know. But then I think, if that's your soulmate, should you be dating these other people? Is he going to think I'm cheating?
What do you think ghosts are anyway? Those are souls, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you're talking about a soulmate.
But I think those are ones that I have, like, you know, passed over already. I think my soulmate is here in this lifetime and here walking on this earth. We just connect with each other in each other's hearts from former lives.
I see.
You know? Okay. So it's just somebody...
Silly me for not getting it.
God, what's wrong with you? You really need to read up on your soulmate.
That?
I don't know. I ask myself that every day. Oh, boy, yeah. So, but I fell back asleep. God, can I shave my head?
Take a moment. Just kind of go with both hands or something on your face.
I just have the biggest forehead, and I don't... So I try to cover my... Oh, my God, if I do that one more time, I'm going to freaking take my hands off.
Yeah, okay. You're focusing too much on yourself this morning. That's the
problem. Oh, wow, that's different than any other day. Let's talk about something that's going on in the world.
Okay.
Leona Lewis. Do you know who Leona Lewis is?
No, I do not.
Really?
No.
She's the one that Simon Cowell discovered. She was on The X Factor, and she has that song Bleeding Love that was like popular last year. Oh, it's this huge song. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, X Factor's like, you know, America's Got Talent, like all that kind of stuff. Anyway, she was discovered. She's a major pop star. Like,
really?
Everyone knows who she is.
Really?
Except you.
Yeah.
She must listen to Hebrew music. Anyway, she was at a book signing the other day, and this fan waited 5 hours to meet her, and when he got up to her, punched her in the head.
Really?
Yeah, and so it was like this huge thing, and they just found out today or last night that the person that punched her in the head was a reject from the show X Factor.
Really?
So it was someone that didn't make it through and was really jealous.
Jealous.
And, yeah,
was that a guy or a girl?
Yeah, it was a guy. So she has a swollen face and everything.
Wow.
I know. And so then I started thinking about all those people that are jealous of, you know, other people, like with the whole Tanya Harding. Remember that in Kim?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And then I started getting nervous about you. When I take over, are you going to hurt me?
God, you're so way ahead of me on this. I'm still behind. She's already way. But what happens afterwards?
Well, you know, like, she, you know, I don't want you punching me in the face. No, I'm just kidding. It was just crazy, though. I was like, wow, people really get jealous and, you know, really bitter and
they do,
other
yeah.
people, you know.
Yeah. You never know who's going to come at you, you know.
I know.
It's really, really
I know.
Scary sometimes.
I know.
Yeah.
So, listeners, if anything ever happens to me, we know who did it.
Yeah, if one day you wake up and Cherry has her own show and I'm nowhere to be found.
Oh, you turned that around on me. That was good. I was thinking you hurt me.
But no, whatever happens, yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay, great.
If you take over, I'll just be a caller.
Or
a regular character on the
okay,
show.
Okay, I thought you meant a caller, like a dog caller.
Oh, like dog caller?
Like he can just drag you around. Okay.
You know what? I'm not coming here anymore. I can't even fucking talk.
Yeah, sure.
Shit.
Blame it on
and
me.
And he won't let me get away with it.
Blame it on me.
All right.
What else?
So you've got a peace sign around your neck today.
I do.
Why is that?
I was going for a little urban look today. I really wanted to find my fake piercings and wear my bandana and just freak you out this morning.
You would have.
I totally wanted to act like I went and got pierced again.
Yeah.
I'll throw
you out the window.
I know. Yeah,
you better not.
I could sue you. As I'm laid up in the hospital.
Yeah, try.
You're like, sue me for what?
Yeah, exactly. What are you going to take?
I know. When I sign the reality show contract and they're like, sue me, I'm like, what are you taking from me? My self-esteem? I don't have any. Good luck. No, I don't know. I put on this shirt, which I haven't worn in a while. It was the only reason I remembered it is because when Reese was here yesterday, this is what I was wearing in his film.
Yeah.
He complimented me on it. He was like, that was a clever shirt. And when I watched the movie, I was like, oh, I have that in my closet. I'll wear that again.
Yeah.
And so then I thought, I see yellow, and I'm like, well, I have to wear gold earrings. So I put on gold earrings, and then I was like, well, I have to find a gold necklace. And I couldn't find the one I was looking for. And then I had this giant peace symbol, and I said, oh, okay, today's about peace.
Where'd you get that thing?
Oh, some crap store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like it.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I don't really wear it out. I think I wear it for Halloween. Well, I can't afford diamonds. It's only wearing to your radio place. When I went in for Starbucks this morning, I put it inside my shirt.
Did you really?
Yeah, because it looks so cheap.
So why wear it?
To annoy you.
Oh, thank you.
So we can have this conversation.
Well, luckily I can't see it. It's behind the computer.
I'm just going to hold it like this the whole time.
Thank you. It looks really tacky.
I know. That's why I don't wear it. I really got it for Halloween one year.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it also makes me smile because I thought about it when I left the house. I was like, do you really want to go out looking this corny and tacky? And then I said, oh, it's about the symbol.
Yeah,
though,
sure.
More than
it's only Sam. Who cares?
Yeah. All right, you're figuring me out.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Good Lord.
What, the hair still?
No, it's allergies, too. It's everything.
No allergies? Really?
Yeah, but I'm going to let it go.
Oh, okay.
My boss had a baby today.
Ah,
one of my bosses. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
I went to lunch with her 2 days ago. Her delivery date was yesterday, and she said, and I haven't seen her in a while because she's my manager from my old location.
Right.
And she said, do you want to have lunch? And I said, sure. Aren't you due tomorrow?
Uh-huh.
She's like, yeah. And so as I was driving there, I was thinking, me, who is so afraid of children and don't want, she's going to give birth in front of me. Like, she's going to go into labor and I'm going to have to do this. So the whole time we were sitting there at lunch, I'm like, you're feeling okay, right? You're fine, right? Nothing's happening there.
Yeah.
And like the server that would come over, I'm like, she's about to give birth. So if anything happens, just so you know, I'm leaving. Anyway, so she texted me this morning with a picture of her child and everything and gave birth to a healthy girl.
Oh, she had it already.
Yeah, well, she went into the hospital.
It was like a C-section or something, right?
Well, yeah, well, she wasn't overdue or anything. She just went in yesterday for a regular, the doctor wanted to see her, and then I guess decided that it was time for the baby was so big that they had to give her a C-section.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she had it today, and I thanked her for not having it in front of me.
Yeah.
And I said, and she said it was like 17 hours of like grueling labor, and I said, another reason why not to have a child.
Yeah. Yeah, and you definitely, you know, if you're a father, expecting father, don't go in the delivery room. It's not a pretty sight.
Did you go both times?
I went both times.
So you didn't learn after the first time?
I did. After the first time, I went in, but I didn't look.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Don't
want to look down there.
Is it because it's going to ruin you wanting to have sex?
It does. It did for me.
Really? So
yeah, it really did.
That's why you want other women.
But it's not the same woman. You know?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Did it really? You just never looked at it like as a sexual thing anymore?
No, it just didn't look very pretty in the delivery room. You
well,
know,
I mean, when you're squeezing a head out of there,
yeah.
Something makes you feel really small. You're like, how
it's not
could
the first
I?
Word I thought about.
It is for me, although, never mind, I'm not going to talk about your song so much. I can't imagine, like, as a man, I would feel, like, you know, less than after seeing that come out. I'd be like, how would I ever feel good inside of you again after that?
Yeah.
That's why women.
Even when the woman's pregnant, you know, I mean, it is like a turn on at a certain time, but then as she progresses, you go, I don't want to hurt anything in there.
Yeah,
you
like,
know?
Don't you feel like you're squishing it?
Yeah,
or like it's getting pounded in the head.
Yeah. And then you realize there's someone inside.
Uh-huh. And they're watching.
And it kind of turns you off.
Sam, I think anything can turn you off. You can find anything unattractive.
Thank you.
Wait, but you said at first that it was a turn on, though, when she's pregnant. Isn't
yeah,
it?
I think so. Yeah, I think pregnant women can be like, because they glow, you know, they do in a certain way.
Yeah. Is that why everybody thinks I'm pregnant? Because I glow all the time, or is it because I'm fat? Because you've always
those are questions
glowing.
That have no answer.
Well, you better not answer them, or you better get the right answer, mister. You just glow, Sherry. Your aura is really bright.
There you go.
These are things I say to myself in the morning.
Oh, I see.
Today's a bright day. Happiness is Sherry. We love ourselves.
I can totally picture you doing that in the morning.
Well, because I do. Not that badly, though. Not that. I called my mom this morning.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I said maybe we'd call her later.
Cool. Well, maybe we'll do that. Maybe, yeah. We got a phone call, and we better take it because we have the interview in a couple minutes. Good morning. You're on the air. Who is this? Hello? Sounds like wrong number. Okay. Should we prepare for the... You called your mom.
Yes, because I told her about what the subject was today.
Right.
And my mom was very opinionated about my sister and I, you know, because she had to deal with my sister and I growing up and like saying, you love her more. No, you love her more. Why do you treat her better? All that kind of stuff. And my mom used to like sit and cry about it and stuff, you know, because she would try to treat us
so equally. So that's the title of the book. What's the title of the book?
You Were Always Mom's Favorite.
Yeah.
Sisters in Conversation Throughout Their Lives.
Well, perfect.
Yes, I know. But I would have liked to have my sister on here because she just would have gone off about how terrible I am.
Well, we can talk to her afterwards.
Well, no, she's teaching.
Some other time, maybe.
She's teaching.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's
teaches
in school.
Every day.
Autistic kids, which then of course makes her sound like a saint.
Yeah, it does.
Whatever. Whatever. Think
yeah, next
insane.
To being on the radio and talking shit all day.
I'm spreading love and light.
Yes, you are.
But Deborah Tannen.
Yes.
She's the best-selling author, I've heard.
Yes, she's written a book like You Just Don't Understand, if I remember, a few years back, and that was like a big hit and stuff, you know, and about communication between men and women.
So
then she wrote things about you know, like good communication in the workplace and all that stuff. So she's pretty much into
communication,
you know, communication and stuff. Yeah,
but I mean, that is the basis for everything. That's where all like fights usually stem from, is how people misunderstand each other all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Her last book was You're Wearing That? Understanding Mothers and Daughters in Conversation.
Oh, I thought it was you talking about my peace sign. Where is she located?
Good question. I think in the book it says D.C. We'll have that's what it says. She lives with her husband in Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I was just going over some of the questions you're going to ask.
Yeah. These people are calling again. Let's see what
they
want.
Is it Pooh?
No, it's not Pooh this time.
Did you see yesterday?
Good morning. You're on the air. Hello? Okay.
Did you hear yesterday? Did you listen to the playback?
Yes.
And you said... There's Pooh. Pooh is calling. And I was like, Pooh. And then later you said Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie
and you're like, I
Pooh.
Said that. And I'm like, no, you didn't. And as I listened to it, I'm like, huh, I was right. Because of course I'm thinking Pooh. Like, who just says Pooh?
Yeah.
Unless you have young children.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't
who
think Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, exactly.
Kids.
I don't say Pooh.
You have no idea what I'm talking about.
No. Well, I did have kids, and we called it Poop, actually.
Yeah. So. Well, it just came out of nowhere, so I was, you
know. Pooh is more like the British pronunciation, I think.
I thought it was Pooh.
Poo.
I don't know, British accent. Bad. Bad. Bad, bad.
You're going to fucking kill me. You are going to kill me.
You're not bouncing back today.
Yeah.
You're being extra sensitive. Are you on your man period?
Maybe something like that, yeah.
Usually you come back. Now you're just like,
well,
yeah.
I try, yeah. I try to be polite to you sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
Did I miss that?
Just sometimes.
Okay. Hello, Deborah Tannen here.
Good morning, Deborah. This is Sam and Sherry calling you from L.A. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. I was expecting your call.
Wonderful. And Sherry was asking me where you're located, and we figured Washington, D.C. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Wonderful. So,
good
first,
morning.
Yeah, good morning to you.
How is the weather there today?
chilly and rainy.
That's what I keep hearing about back east.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, it's better over there.
Yeah.
It is 84 today.
It is. It,
which is strange.
Yeah, it was really cold a couple of days.
Uh-huh,
now it's going
to be in the 80s all week.
Yeah. So all the more reason for sisters to fight, right?
Over the weather.
So, Deborah, you wrote the book You Were Always Mom's Favorite. This addresses the problems that sisters have in communicating with each other. Can you give us a little background? Why did you come? How did this book come about?
Well, I do have two sisters, so I was interested for that reason. But it really developed pretty much out of my previous book, which was called You're Wearing That, and that's about mothers and grown daughters. And the sister relationship is the other family relationship that's all women. And a lot of what goes on between sisters reflects that. We talk a lot, tend to talk maybe more often about more personal things than we would tend to with our brothers. And it's often some things we said in those conversations that can upset each other. Sometimes it's just a comment that one thought was meant well and the other one just goes into a tailspin. But it's also, we should also keep in mind that that same one word from a sister can sometimes just start you laughing or remind you of your shared past in a way that's very positive. So it's a relationship that is very strong, positive, as well as sometimes challenging aspects.
Right. Now, is there a lot of rivalry when they're young, much more than when they're older, or could it be the other way around? Could they be getting along very well when they're young, and then when they get older, they're having problems?
It can evolve in either direction. And the rivalry can be deep and quite vigorous, or it can be even slight. I'm thinking of a woman in her 60s who said she had just gotten a call from her sister who said, "I spoke to Mom twice yesterday." And she said, "Well, I spoke to her once, but we had a better conversation."
This is my sister and I.
So in their 60s, good-natured, but the competition's still there.
Yeah, it really is, huh? And, I mean, the title of the book, definitely... you know, I mean, there's a lot of debate on this, but I think that deep inside, people do have favorites when it comes to children. Do you find that?
Well, this is really amusing because parents tell me they don't have favorites.
Right.
And siblings always tell me that there were.
Right.
And they always know who they think it was, but they don't always agree.
Right.
So many women say they're surprised that they thought the sister was the favorite. She thought they were the favorite. And it could be we just notice what we think are advantages that the other gets and don't pay all that much attention to advantages that we got.
Right. Now, I mean, do we see, how about when you have mixed siblings, like boys and girls, is the case for the sisters different? I mean, do they have rivalries over different things, different concerns?
Yeah. I think sisters to sisters and brothers to brothers sometimes compare themselves more directly.
Yes.
I came across a very frequent distinction families would make, the pretty one and the smart one.
Right.
And that seems not to be so much the case with brothers because physical appearance isn't that
right.
much of a focus with brothers. And sisters tell me that they talk to their sisters more often.
Right.
But they could still feel with a brother that if it's an older one, maybe he's hard to keep up with, or you can never be quite as good as he is. Or if it's a younger one who's flamboyant, you might feel that you're overshadowed. And the favorites, I did hear quite often, if there were a family of sisters and one brother, there was often a feeling he was the favorite.
Right.
Well, because he was probably treated differently, you know, because number one, he was a boy,
right.
you know, so you feel like it's a separate, you know, different kind of attention.
Right. But that also, I think among same-sex siblings, it's more of a tendency to look at them as a reflection of you. So when I asked women to tell me about their sisters, I was really struck by how often and how quickly they started telling me how they're different.
Right.
I don't think that would come up quite as much with a sibling of the other sex because it's obvious that you're different.
Right.
One's boy, one's girl.
Right.
No, I really agree with that because when people usually ask about my sister and I, immediately we're both like, we're so different.
Exactly.
Yeah, always. And
I know, you know, when I read about mothers and daughters, I heard we're the same and I heard we're different.
Mm-hmm.
But with sisters, it was overwhelmingly we're different. And it really made me think about how much a sense of identity is wrapped up in what we think, you know, who we think we are in relation to a sister. For example, a woman who was just 5'3", she told me she felt like a hulking giant. Her sisters were 5'1".
Mm. Wow.
If the sisters were 5'6", then she'd be the one who felt too short.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you find as sisters get much older, though, that rivalry goes away and they finally get to understand each other?
Well, I think it can evolve in all different directions. I certainly have heard as sisters get older that they value having that sister even more. That's if it is a fairly positive relationship. I did also talk to sisters who cut a sister off because
right.
they felt it was more giving them more pain than pleasure to keep that relationship up. So As we get older, it can evolve in one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Many women told me when they get with their sisters, they feel like a kid again.
Yeah.
And that can be great. You know, you laugh and you can be silly and you call each other by pet names and you share memories that only you share. But sometimes it means the old insecurities come back.
Mm-hmm.
I think of a woman, she used this phrase, which I really liked. She said, "It's hard to hold on to the strength of my light in the glow of hers."
Aww.
And she had a sister who was younger but was just quite flamboyant.
Right.
Wow.
Right. And I think sisterhood is a pretty close bond, right?
Well, it can be among the closest bonds that there are, but sometimes, for whatever reason, sisters don't feel that close a bond, maybe because of a big age difference so that they didn't grow up together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, too, that the competition and the comparison in itself can create a bond. So you might feel like you're always being overshadowed, but you always feel that she's there, like that shadow next to you in your consciousness,
right,
even if you're not talking to each other.
Yeah, I think that's what connects, personally, I think, sisters and most sisters that I know, is that even if you fight constantly and you don't get along and you have all these opinions of each other, when it comes down to it, you know in your heart like what the bond is, and you would still protect them no matter what.
Yes, often it's that you would protect them. I think of Sarah Delaney and Bessie Delaney. They had a book, The Delaney Sisters, some years back, and Bessie Delaney is quoted as saying, "Sadie doesn't approve of me sometimes. She looks at me in that big sister sort of way." Well, she was 101.
Wow.
And her sister was 103.
Uh-huh.
And then elsewhere, Sadie is quoted as saying, "The only reason I'm alive is to keep her alive.
Wow.
When she lives to be 130, I'll just have to live to 132 so I can take care of her."
Yeah,
uh-huh. Yeah, so that's the protectiveness that
uh-huh.
you're talking about.
Yeah.
And often that is from the older toward the younger. Even though you may both have lived a century,
mm-hmm.
those couple years difference between you does remain there as an influence on the relationship.
Right, right. Now, Deborah, you're an expert, obviously, on human communication. How does the book present like ways to improve relationships among sisters?
Yeah, I talk about message and meta message, so that's not just the meaning of the words, but what we think it implies that you say these words at this time. And often when we're upset with something a sister said, it's the meta message. And we may be absolutely sure that we know what that was, but she may have a very different idea about what it was. So just being aware of that difference can be important. For example, a woman who had lost a lot of weight, and all her friends told her how great she looked, and her sister said, "You're losing too much weight. You don't look healthy anymore."
Mm.
So what's the meta message? Is it she's telling you the truth when no one else will? She's watching out for you. She's protective. Or is it she just wants to pull you back because she doesn't want you to get all that far ahead? When people react one way or the other, they're absolutely certain that that's the meaning. But it really could be intended
right.
in the other way.
Yeah. Sherry, how was your relationship with your sister? I mean, in a nutshell.
It was, when we were young, we got along really well. Like, we had fun together. She was older. So I just kind of, like, followed in her lead. Like, anytime we'd play anything, like, we'd play school, she was the teacher, I had to be the student. Mm-hmm. We'd play restaurant, she was the waitress, I was the cook. Like, she always had that control role.
Right.
And, I have examples like that.
Yeah, and I allowed it, and it was fine. But as we've gotten older, and our personality started changing, it became difficult because she always said that I was my mom's favorite. And what it really came down to in my mind, and I know I'm not right, it's just my own truth,
mm-hmm.
We each have our own truth, is that I thought I knew how to listen better, and so I just got along with my mom. My sister was more rebellious, and so my sister would see my mom and I get along well, and she just immediately assumed that I was her favorite,
right.
instead of realizing that maybe I don't know if it's communicate better, but I just didn't carry as much stuff, you know, and issues that she had. And so this has carried over through the years. And every time we get together, we're so excited to see each other.
Well, for about half a day.
Yeah. No, literally a half a day. We get together. We're laughing. Like, she's like, "Let's go shopping like sisters." And we hold hands and do stuff. And then one little word sets it off. And then we end up every trip, her crying, screaming at me, threatening me.
Wow.
And my mom crying, saying, "I don't understand why you two ended up like this." And
yeah.
It's volatile. But then at the same time, we apologize by the end of the trip. We tell each other we love each other. But there's still so much stuff that's carried around.
Yeah. Is that pretty common, Deborah?
it is astonishing, isn't it? And many arguments will end up with one telling the other, you were always the favorite, you always got everything.
Yeah.
So that resentment can remain forever. But I think that same strength of feeling that makes you love seeing each other so much can often mean we can get hurt by what the other says.
Mm-hmm.
Out of proportion to how we would have reacted if somebody else had said it.
Yeah.
And it's, what I find is that it's so not about really each other. It's about our own stuff going on in our head. And so anything that happens to the other person, you know, we just take that on and take it so personally, and we just blame each other for it, you know?
Yeah, because we do seem to see sisters as reflections of ourselves and compare what happens to them to what's happening to us.
Yeah, I mean,
we would not compare
right.
with other people.
Right. I mean, my sister's, I don't want to say bitter, but she's, you know, hurt because, you know, I went away to college. When she wanted to go, I guess supposedly my parents or my dad said, you know, that she wasn't college material, although that's not exactly what he said, but that's what she heard,
right.
you know, and
wow.
so, and so then I went to college, and so then there was just like, oh, well, they loved you more, they put, you know,
yeah.
but I have just as many stories back the other way, you know,
yeah.
so.
Exactly, we tend to notice where the other one have the advantages, and there are certainly built-in advantages to the different places in the family lineup by age.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The older one is often the center of attention for a long time.
My sister has a whole baby book of pictures.
Pictures of the older. Harriet Beecher Stowe wrote somewhere, the first child is pure poetry, the rest are prose.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, seriously.
But then also the older one often is like a lightning rod that absorbs a lot of the anxieties and strictness of the parents that then she's protecting in a way that from the young ones getting that same kind of force.
Right.
Yeah, no, and, I was... I was just going to say that my mother, like my sister and I, we can have equal. My mom had all these baby pictures of my sister, you know, because
exactly.
it was her firstborn. And then when it was time for me, it was like, oh, this was, you know, her first, like 1 year old. I'm like, what happened up until I was a year, you know? And so I had that little thing going on. And then my sister, you know, then had the similar, well, how come Sherry gets to do all these things and I didn't get to do it, you know?
Right.
And it was because they realized
yeah.
that it didn't work with her. So they just let me go and do my thing. So. I mean, it's always going to go back and forth.
Very, very typical, yeah, of those age positions. But I really did come, since I'm the youngest of three, I really did come to understand better and have more compassion for the older
mm-hmm.
and oldest sister, where they're often put in a position of taking care of younger ones, and then they're resented for it.
Right.
I frequently heard older ones called bossy and judgmental.
Yeah.
And I heard younger ones accused of not doing their share. You know, she just sits back and lets me do all the work.
Wow, this is so true.
Sorry.
No, I was just agreeing. It's very true. It's the exact words we've used for each other.
Yeah, when we were kids, well, the older one either was expected to, or at least certainly got away with telling the younger ones what to do. And younger ones, sometimes even if they wanted to do something, often there was no way in because mm-hmm. the older one was already doing it.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I mean
so
she's. No, sorry, I was going to say, she's 37 and I'm 35 and she still tells me what to do when we get together. She's like, you're sitting in the back
yeah.
of this car. And I'm like, no, I'm not. She's like, I'm the older one. Like, we still have this.
Really?
Oh, yeah, completely.
That sitting in the front seat next to the parent is very evocative, I think. So, again, from more than one younger sister I heard, mm-hmm. they think about childhood. The picture they get is they're sitting in the back seat of the car looking at the backs of the heads
yeah.
of their mother and their older sister.
That's true. That's
well,
true.
I used to then annoy them with my singing.
Deborah, this is fascinating. The book is You Were Always Mom's Favorite by Deborah Tannen, of course. Do you have a website that we can go to?
I do. It's DeborahTannen.com, and Deborah is spelled DeborahH.
Okay.
Tannen, of course, TANNEN.
Wonderful. And I definitely recommend your other books as well. I know I read your first one, You Just Don't Understand. That was years back, but I remember it left a big impact on me because you obviously do know what you're talking about when it comes to communicating and so forth. So we thank you for that. Deborah, thank you so much for taking out the time. And have yourself a great weekend. Take care of our capital.
Thank you, and thanks for taking the time to talk to me.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Take care.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Funny.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like hearing stuff. It's just, okay, I'm not alone.
Yeah. You see, with brothers, it's not so complicated because we're not that emotional, you know?
Right, especially you.
So, yeah. Shut up.
Ah, shut up. You know what? You know what bonds my sister and I, and it's kind of sad? Not to bring this all down, but my sexual abuse that I had as a kid, my sister kind of happened to be around at the time and didn't really know what was going on. But so she has carried around the guilt for years that she didn't protect me. Right. And so it's like the one thing that still like bonds us now. Like when we finally, like when we get into these huge fights and we break down and everything, she'll start crying and she'll say, I should have protected you. Like it's, she still like holds on to that. Yeah.
Wow.
Weird. Yeah. Weird. But she's still a biatch.
These people are still trying to call. Let's see who that is. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Richard Weissman.
Who?
Richard.
Yes, Richard. Good morning to you. How are you, Richard?
Good morning.
Morning. Yes.
What are you calling us about this morning, Richard?
Well, I was. I couldn't wait for the lady to shut up. You know, the guest that you had on, she was very boring. but I wanted to chime in on the topic that you were talking about earlier. Well, and it comes around with the topic of sisters, you know, because I actually married a sister. Not my sister.
Not your sister, okay.
Not my sister, yeah. There were two girls. I'm Jewish, which, Sherry, shalom to you. I'm not really, also not into Jewish women either myself, although I ended up marrying a Jewish woman.
Right. And how did it turn out?
I'm 80 years old, and I always, when people ask me what is the secret of long marriage, I just tell them, flaxseed oil, regular bowel movement, and sex twice a day.
There you go. Wow.
That's good advice.
Yeah, good advice from an 80-year-old.
Yeah. And Sharon is my wife, and she always gets embarrassed every time I tell that story in public, but she's in good shape, and that's what keeps it young and active.
That's cool. So what do you do now? You're 80 years old. Do you still work?
I am retired. I'm a retired lawyer, and I do a little bit of I'm a notary as well. So I have some people come to my house, and I just do a little bit of notary on the side. And whatever my friends have, a little divorce here and there, I take care of that as well.
I see. Okay.
Is there a lot of divorce going on?
Oh, yeah, especially now with the economy. You know, as soon as the money runs out, the love goes out the window. So a lot of couples, either they get reconnected because they're losing their money, or they decide, you know what, I'm going to jump ships.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the other guy that has more money. So that's what they do.
Yeah.
The other guy. Damn women.
Oh, yeah. And you know what is interesting now? Now that the cougar thing is going on, a lot of women are supporting the men, because the men are the ones getting fired first, because I guess employers are more scared that they're going to get sued. So they go ahead and fire the men. And the cougars are taking advantage of that.
Yeah.
Do you like cougars? And what is a cougar to an 80-year-old?
Yeah.
I'm curious.
Well, they would be dead by now.
Yeah, there you go.
And I've told my wife I've never been into necrophilia.
No, that's good. That's good.
That's one of the things that's not very attractive.
It's a wise choice there.
Everybody has their taste, you know. Yeah. You know, I'm very tolerant in person, you know. Speaking about, I was actually 15 when I was in the concentration camp. I was not personally myself in the concentration camp because my father had dummy papers. He had some papers that we passed as Dutch.
Wow.
Yeah. So we lied to survive.
What country were you in?
We were in Poland.
In Poland, that's what I thought. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. And then, but my brother actually, we were not, my brother was left behind. So he was actually caught by the Nazis, and he was actually, we don't know what happened.
Yeah.
So every time I go to a synagogue, I look around in the crowd, and I'm looking, is that my brother, is that my brother? You never know when he'll show up.
Wow, that's pretty pretty heavy stuff.
And that's where I met my wife. I met her after Yom Kippur temple. And the sister, Jemina. I dated the sister first, and then I fell in love with Sharon. Mm. So, and it was actually that you were talking about pregnancy, because when men are attracted to women when they're pregnant. I always loved to make love to my wife when she was pregnant.
Yeah.
But there was a time when she didn't want to have sex with me.
Yeah.
So she said, you want to have my sister?
Sounds good to me, man.
Because Jemina never got married. She never found a guy. Wow. And I always found her attractive. Uh-huh. And I always joke with the chairman and go, hey, if you ever kick the bucket, do you mind if I hook up with your sister?
Do you take Viagra?
Oh, yeah.
Why not?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? Before I came out, I was having a really hard time getting it up.
Yeah.
But after Viagra came up, oh my God, that's exactly why we have sex twice a day.
Yeah, I think it changed a lot of people's lives. Yeah.
I'm actually addicted to it. As a matter of fact, I am.
Addicted?
I don't have it in a day. I kind of like miss it.
Yeah, you kind of have to walk around with a boner all the time.
Well, don't you think that would affect your heart by that age? Yeah. I'm afraid I'd have a heart attack or something.
Yeah, but at least you die
happy.
Fun.
That's true.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'd rather die happy than die limp.
So how long have you been married now?
Oh my gosh, it's going to be around probably 60.
Wow.
60, with twins, yeah.
Yeah. And so you guys still have sex, huh?
Every twice a day.
What?
Once, like a morning, as soon as we wake up.
And there is hope for you, Sam. Yeah.
And then the afternoon delight.
Afternoon
delight. Yeah, I like afternoon delights. Yeah.
Can I ask you a question? What's your name again?
Richard.
Richard, sorry. So you've been having sex with the same woman for 60 years. How do you guys keep it alive and different? Because Sam's really worried here. Sam thinks that all men have to spread their seed. And it's not in our nature to be married to the same person or have sex with the same person your whole life.
Well, we go through cycles. You absolutely right. We have a variety collection of wigs. We have a right collection of outfits.
You're joking.
And then I walk in around and I kind of like, you can tell that we're going to start like a scene or something. And I said, you didn't clean up behind the couch. And I start getting all mad. I said, come over here and fix that. And I bend her over on the couch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
She likes the visual.
When I'm working
on
the computer.
Old.
Yeah, when I'm working on the computer, she just sits on my lap, and that's when the magic happens as well. Yeah.
Really? Wow. I'd love to be a fly on the wall.
I know. I was thinking the same thing in some weird way. Would you ever, like, play courtroom since you were a lawyer? And maybe she's your stenographer?
Oh, yeah, she's the secretary taking annotations, and I walk around the kitchen talking to the jury, and then she's taking annotations. Or then she's in the jury stand, and I am a cross-examination here. Yeah. You know, I'm cross-examining her, and I corroborate, Your Honor, this lady right here is lying, and then I go to her.
I want to have sex with him. You sound fun, Richard.
There you go. Would you cheat on your wife at this point? Why not?
Let him answer. You're like, would you? Why not?
I don't want to put.
Don't put any
this.
Ideas in his head.
I would definitely. I did a lot of acting in my own, in my younger days.
Uh-huh.
I did not work with. Well, I actually did work with Burt Reynolds. I was background in a Cop and a Half movie. And then I think I got a part in a Larry David Curb Your Enthusiasm actually episode. I was one of the old men on the pool. I did not.
Did that turn your wife on that you were on TV? Did she like that?
Yes. Oh yes, she liked that. We went together actually for the casting, but she did not get the part. So she always, you always make fun of her that I'm the better looking of the pair.
You guys sound like you have a really fun relationship.
Yeah, it does. You sound like a lot of fun, Richard.
Oh, well, I enjoy you guys' show.
Thank you very much. How did you find out about it?
I've always been a big listener of talk radio.
Oh.
And a friend of mine here at the Elder Community across the street came and said, hey, how you guys listen to Sam and Sherry? And I said, well, that's an interesting, I'm going to listen to that.
Yeah.
So I reconnected, and we've been listening for about a week and a half, and we really enjoy you guys.
Thank you very much.
My wife doesn't that much, but I do.
Well, that's because Sam talks about married men should cheat, so I can understand why she wouldn't like it so much. I know.
And that's the secret of marriage. She has her own things going. She does her macrame, her canasta with her friends. And I have my sports. I have my Sam and Sherry in the morning. And
awesome.
I walk around the dogs. So everybody has to have their own lives.
Sorry, Richard, you don't find Well, this is probably a silly question since you have sex all the time. I was going to say me, like maybe a little too forward, a little too descriptive for someone your age.
Me?
Yes. You don't find the things that I say sometimes offensive, maybe?
No, absolutely not, because what is the point of listening if somebody's going to be tame? I love the fact that the young generation are just so open, and you are very interesting and very... Your vocabulary is absolute, and you're very quick. You're like a fast. You're very fast.
She is.
Like a cat.
You two guys make a great combination, a great team. I really have enjoying you guys.
Thank you very much, Richard, and thank you so much for calling. You've been great, and you're welcome to call in anytime.
I absolutely will. Thank you. You guys have a great Friday.
You won. Thank you.
Be nice to
you
your wife.
Okay. I will.
Bye-bye.
Pretty cool guy.
Was that one of your...
Cool. No, really.
Oh, okay.
I don't know him.
Okay.
No. Were you thinking this? Yeah, I was in the beginning also wondering, because he kind of put down the guest in the beginning, you know, which makes me feel uncomfortable.
Well, because people you have calling sometimes.
Yeah, I know. So that's why I thought maybe it's someone pulling my leg or something. But
that was really funny.
Yeah.
I want to hang out with Richard.
Yeah.
But doesn't it give
Sounds
you some hope?
Like fun.
I mean,
yeah.
Like 60 years of marriage.
Yeah. That's a long time.
That's a long time.
Listen to you. Hopeless romantic.
I don't know. I was thinking that was a long time, not in a good way. I'm like 6 months. That's a lot.
It is a lot. Okay, we're going to take a short break.
Because I got to pee.
You do. I guess the whole world has to know that. We'll see you right after this.
Sure, other stations promise outstanding content. But when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com. Thank you.
City Talk Radio liberates the internet. Two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Sherry in the Morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Okay.
So I picture, every time I hear that, I picture us in capes. And now on balloons.
Superman and Supergirl.
Yeah, saving the world. One listener at a time.
One smile at a time.
Did you hear about that balloon thing?
Yes. Wasn't that something?
That was crazy.
Made such a big deal out of it.
Well, because they thought some kid was flying through the air. And then I'm thinking, how are you...
because he was missing. They thought he was flying, that he was missing,
supposedly. He was missing, and they thought that he, like, flew off in this balloon. But did you hear that they were on reality TV shows?
No.
Yeah, they were on Wife Swap a couple of times, so now they're thinking it was this big publicity stunt.
Oh.
That's what happened, because they found the kid who happened to be hiding in the rafters in the garage, then they had all these interviews, and they said to him, to the young kid, why, when your parents were calling you, did you not answer? And he said, because this is for a show.
Oh.
The young kid, like, totally, like, gave them away. And so they're trying to, like, the parents are trying to backpedal and say, that's not what he meant, you know. And then he went and got sick and, like, puked on camera. I mean, on camera. They were probably, like, pinching his side. Like, you dumbass. But, yeah, I was like, how are you, like, everyone's sitting around eating and then you don't notice that your son's not at the table?
Yeah.
He's all flying in a balloon. It was a crazy story, and it was on the news all day long. It took, like, all of America's time.
I know. I wasn't, like, watching TV, but it was on, so I constantly saw this balloon flying. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Yes. You know? It was crazy.
Yeah. So let's take this call, see who that is. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's this?
Good morning.
This is Sarah.
Sherry's in law.
Hi,
Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
Hi,
how you doing?
Sherry.
How are you?
I'm just calling about the topic that you guys said earlier about sisters.
About what?
Sisters.
Oh, sisters.
Sisters.
Right.
Sisters.
Yes. What do you have to say about sisters?
Well, I come from an Italian family.
Uh-huh.
So I have a huge family. And my topic of I never really had a fit. My mom and dad never really favored because I have two sisters and two brothers.
Uh-huh.
And there was really never a favorite. If anything, it was the males.
Yeah, I know the Italians like the males better.
Why is that? Because they're going to produce? What is that about?
It's just the paternal type of thing, patriarchy. You know?
So you basically don't want to be a girl born into an Italian family?
No, that's what it is about the Italian family is that a female in the Italian family doesn't move on the name.
Oh, yes, right.
You can marry and move on the name, move on another person's name.
Right.
But a male in the family moves on the name.
Gotcha.
Your topic with your sisters is that you girls were the only girls in the family, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Really?
There's only what?
We're a really small family.
Six of you.
Yeah, I know. And everyone loved me the best.
well, look at your cousin Brett. He thinks TJ was loved the best.
Oh, yeah. They had
a lot of grandkids.
Right. Well, there's always one, though. There's always one child that feels that they were, you know, not given as much attention or as loved. And that was my sister. That was Tammy.
Really? I never really known that as a family member. And I would have thought you guys were like...
Well, we try to control ourselves around you. We wait for the fights for everyone to leave, and then we get into our big brawl. We try to be somewhat respectful. Why do you think Brett, her husband, left the family? Because every time we'd all get together, there's these monster fights going on. So then, you know, he left, took off for a while. He was the wise one.
He's at it.
He's like, my family's crazy. Before I met him, he was like, my family's crazy. They're small. But they can do a lot of damage.
Yeah, you know what? We are a little crazy. Just a little bit. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's in this Jewish culture or whatever, but we all talk really loud and all at the same time. And instead of talking, we all yell, even when we're not mad at each other.
And you guys have something in common with the Italian family. Y'all like to wave your hand around, too.
Yeah, no, totally. Like, my friends would come over, and they'd be like, why does your family fight all the time? I'm like, we're not fighting. It's just how we talk to each other.
That's how when I first came to the family, when I met Brett's mom, you know how she always talks loud.
Yes.
I told Brett, I was like, what is she so angry about? And he's like, oh, you better get used to that to the Jewish family, because that's how we all talk.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And I was like, well, wow. I come from a big family, but we're not, like, wow.
Yeah. Why do you think I've moved 3,000 miles away from everybody?
That's what everyone seems to do. Move away from the family.
I mean, I love them, but I come home for a few days and it's like, all right, gotta go.
Yeah, you gotta stay sane somehow.
See, I made a big mistake. I was trying to get away from my big crazy family, and
then you moved to another one. Yeah, but you can walk away from ours. You can't walk really away from your own.
No, I like this crazy family. It keeps me on my toes.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Yes, they do, very much so. But Brett won't get on the phone. He's here with me.
Okay.
He just wanted to say he loved you, and that
Thank
we
you.
Listen to you guys every day.
Oh, we love
and
that.
And you can't believe that you were actually on the radio talking about your personal life. His mop has the floor.
I know, nobody believes it.
If anything, I thought Brett would be the most understanding, because he's, you know, he was like the little rebel
okay
in the family.
As long as you don't bring up my personal life, which I've done with her. Yeah.
Don't worry, I don't mention names of anybody, yeah. So it's all good.
We don't throw the family under the bus.
That's right.
I just wanted to say good morning to you guys.
Thank
and
you.
Give my opinions about sisters, and have a lovely morning.
You guys
and
too.
I will be listening to you guys.
Awesome.
Wonderful. Thank you, Sarah.
Bye.
Bye.
Sarah.
This is the most we've ever spoken.
So she... Really?
Yeah, well, I mean... No, I don't mean that badly. But I mean, she married into the family, and right. I've been away in California like since they. So I've only met her a couple of times,
twice
and stuff. And they had a baby together. You know, she had a baby with my cousin.
Right.
But she was always so nice, and always every time I've met her, been really warm and welcoming. But this is the most I've really like spoken to her.
Really?
Yeah, and I think it's
maybe
great.
Maybe open up the communication.
Well, no, I think it's great that they're listening to us.
Yeah.
Except it just makes me a little nervous about the things I say.
well,
it's all good.
You
know. It's all good.
You ready for your corner here?
Sure. Okay. Corner.
Your segment. Do it.
All right. So it's going to be a little different today because I got an email yesterday, and I'd actually like to answer the person that wrote me, and I want to answer them on air.
Oh, okay.
It's from, I'm not going to give her whole name, but she's Stephanie, and she's in Switzerland, and she listens to us.
Ah, and, hi, Stephanie.
I know. So I got this Facebook request, and I don't like just to accept anybody. I like to see who the mutual friends are so I know, you know, and there was no mutual friends.
Uh-huh.
So I had to think about it, and I went and looked on her page and stuff, and then I saw my friends a while ago, as a joke, made a fan club page for me.
Is that what that is?
Yes.
Yeah, I just got like a message. I joined it yesterday.
Well, because I was trying to get you to see what she wrote on there that I'm about to speak about.
Okay.
So my friends like made it as a joke. Like it was my roommate, actually. Uh-huh. And when I was doing...
How long ago was this?
Last year sometime.
Last year, okay.
Yeah, and so she sent out all these friend requests, like the Sherry's like real fan club.
Yeah.
Like she's going to put out all these cheesy posts and everything and try to save the world. So this girl found it. Like, she listened to us on LA Talk Radio. She found my page, and she found the fan club page. Uh-huh. So when I was looking at her page to figure out who she was, it said, Stephanie joined Sherry's fan club. I was like, oh, okay, because I haven't thought about this page in forever. And so I went over to the page, and she had written on there that I'm her mentor, which is scary in itself.
Wow.
But and that she finds herself walking around the house singing Sherry with Sherry. And then she wrote me.
I think everybody does.
And then she wrote me this email, and I'd like to answer as what best I can. So I'm going to read it.
Yeah.
I'll leave out some parts for her own, you know, privacy. But it says, "Hi, Sherry. Since I'm listening to your show, I'm starting to hope there is maybe a possibility to go from a pessimist to an optimist. I'm a real afraid person of death or people dying in my environment. I lost one close family member and a friend within 3 weeks last year, and lots more stuff. And since I'm a kid, I always expect the worst in life. Do you have any advice or a book or anything? I need to start being positive. It's the only way to get happy. And when I heard you talking about things like this, I was like, wow, it's a sign I'm ready to change me in that way. You're also really sympathetic, and I connect with you on other levels, like porn." And she wrote a little bit more about that, some sites I can find, which I found really funny. And then she wrote, "Stay who you are. I'm happy I found someone I can look up to."
Wow.
Hugs from Switzerland.
That's cool.
I know.
Yeah.
Like,
Now you have to be prepared for a lot of friend requests of people you don't know.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And I have, like, from, you know, other listeners and stuff. But it's nice to see, like, what was more in there was the fact that, you know, she was able to see, like, she's a very, I guess, sexual person as well.
Mm-hmm.
And she was thinking that maybe there was, you know, things wrong with that as well as, but, and so many other things, but listening to me talk about it and at the same time, in her mind, having some wisdom that she thinks that there's hope for her. And I just want to say that, first of all, they always say that when the student is ready, you know, the teacher will appear.
Right.
And I don't think that I'm her teacher, but I already think that she's well on her way to becoming positive because she's already searching for it.
Right.
And the fact that she's
right.
asking for it, it already means that she's opened herself up and it's all going to come to you, Stephanie.
Right.
And as far as, like, loss in the family, the one thing that you have to know is that, I mean, it is part of this lifetime, you know, and the only thing that you can do is, I think, you know, be good to the people in your life and be kind and treat other people and, you know, be in the moment and make all the memories with all the people in your life. I mean, everyone's going to go, but as long as you know that when they left, that you had a good relationship with them, you took care of them, you were good to them, you'll see them, whatever your beliefs are. I don't know if you believe in afterlife or no life or whatever, but all you can do is live in the moment and not worrying about, like, what's going to happen tomorrow, you know?
Right.
Everything that's happened in your past, sometimes a lot of obstacles come up in our lives, and it's again about perception, and if you start seeing obstacles as opportunities, you'll look at life in a whole new way. And again, and it takes time. Like, I didn't become positive overnight. Like, mm-hmm. The first book I ever read, which sent me, and we're all different on my spiritual journey, was called Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh. His whole book series, like, I read the first one, and I was just blown away by it. And I started questioning things, like philosophizing for myself, you know, about my life, and started noticing how, as soon as I started looking at things differently, how everything became different to me,
right.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I really just think that sometimes these things happen in our lives because it gives us an opportunity for us to find those characteristics or those strengths within ourselves that we can actually handle them and find out things about ourselves that we never knew that we had. And I'm really excited for you. Like, I get excited when people are really searching for a better life and for happiness, and I really think that you're going to find it. You just got to stop, you know, being so upset and thinking the worst. Just start thinking that everything that's going to happen in your life is going to be good and see the lesson in everything. That's
exactly.
See the lesson in it.
And keep watching porn.
Sure. I knew you were waiting to say something like that.
Well, we have to make it complete.
Porn is okay.
Yeah.
Porn is all right.
Yes.
It is. As long as you're watching it for the right reasons.
Are the right reasons?
Because you love it and not for some sick, like, I'm trying to punish. Like, because people watch it, like, a lot of people would think because of, you know, my past that, mm-hmm. you know, it's for humiliation reasons or all that kind of stuff. I'm very healthy with it.
Yeah.
I like what
yeah.
I like, you know. But I really do appreciate the sites you sent me to. I haven't checked them out yet. But I will. But keep listening to us, and you can continue to email me if you want, and we can keep talking.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. I thought it was very cool.
Stephanie from Switzerland.
Stephanie, thank you. Yeah. And then I just have one quote.
Uh-huh.
And that's it. And it's by Osho.
Osho? Okay.
Which, what's his other name?
I'm not going through it again.
No, I want to know it.
Bhagwan Rajneesh.
Bhagwan Rajneesh.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. This was on my thought for the day. Life in itself is an empty canvas. It becomes whatever you paint on it. You can paint misery or you can paint bliss. This freedom is your glory. Thanks for sharing with Sherry.
Yeah, it's like, how do you argue with that, you know?
Well, I'm sure you could find a way.
Yeah.
Sharing with Sherry. Gotta be real. Come on my face. Don't make a mess up my nose. Come on my face with Sherry. Singing in the shower. Say my name 15 times in the song. Come on my face. I'm Sherry.
I think that's one of my favorites he's done. Oh, God. Wow.
Lived that down.
No. I think no matter how much I try to get away from this, it's not going to happen.
No, not going to happen. People find it very hot. I get comments on it all day.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
You don't send those to me. Hey, Buddhist asked me that on a date. I mean, on a date, but when we were at our tea.
Yeah.
He was like, so do you really like that? And I'm like, oh, my God, are we really having this conversation? Like, are we really, really, really having this conversation? And then I think, well, I guess I do put it out there. I can't, you know, not expect someone to talk about it.
That's true.
But he doesn't like it, just for the record.
Yeah, he doesn't like
it. No, so then I don't like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Okay. We got another phone call. Let's see
lots
who that
phone
is.
Calls.
Yes. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's this?
Good morning, Sam. This is Tommy.
Tommy from New York. What's going on, man?
Actually, I'm in Connecticut today.
Oh, you are? What are you doing in Connecticut today?
Oh, hang on a second. Let me turn you guys down so I can actually hear you.
Well, that's good. That helps.
I'd say good morning to you, but you only said good morning, Sam. So.
Oh, no. I didn't forget about you, Sherry.
Okay. I love Tommy, by the way. He emails me constantly, and we have, like, he's the... Not to cut you off, but I am. He's, like, the best writer. I don't know if you read half of his stuff that he writes.
I do.
But it's friggin' fantastic. FF. Hello?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
She's talking about you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was talking about you, buddy.
He's busy turning down.
I'm listening. I'm not going to turn away compliments.
He was waiting for me to continue talking about how great he was. Okay. No, I think I'm done now. Thanks.
So what's going on, Tommy? Anything new going on?
Actually, in reference to what you were just saying, Sherry, I wanted to tell the story of sweetness.
This is a good story.
A very interesting thing happened, Sam. I started writing as Sherry was just talking, and some of the writing I actually think isn't half bad, but I have, like Sherry has, talks about the one who visits her on the roof in the morning. I have this woman who inspires me in my dreams, and I write the most beautiful stuff for her. It's incredible stuff. Well, anyway, long story short, she came in the dreams, and in real life, I named her Sweetness. So when an opportunity came up not too many weeks ago to get a new cat, in her honor, I named my cat Sweetness. Didn't think anything about it. Well, as the weeks went on, things went good. Somehow or another, I got a little bold in the writings I was doing, and I actually told the person I was writing it to, "This is for you, Sweetness." Well, imagine my surprise when I came home that afternoon, and there was 35 emails sitting in my email box on Facebook. Half of them were women who I had never spoken to before in my life, who swore their loyalty and their love to me because of the stuff I wrote to them.
Really?
To them.
Other half. I'm sorry?
No, I'm just laughing that it was to them, women you've never spoken to.
Yeah.
Immediately assumed it was
never
for them.
Never even had an email exchange with. And the interesting thing happened. The other half of the emails were people who were really, really concerned about me because they thought I was, you know, really, really lonely, and I was writing to my cat, you know, and in love with my cat.
That's pretty lonely.
Well, here's the thing. I got a phone call that night, you know, and it surprised me a little bit because, you know, this phone call comes in, and I look down, and I see it says West Palm Beach, Florida, you know, and I'm like, okay, man. My family, my uncles and everybody are down there. My God, I'm in trouble. You know, something's happened with my family. So I pick up the phone and I start talking to this person, and this person comes on in a very monotone voice like this and says, "Tom, I'm calling you tonight with a very important concern. Some of your friends are a little bit worried about you, and, you know, loneliness is a problem that we all have from time to time. Sometime we need to reach out and speak to somebody, and your friends have asked me to call you because they want you to have that opportunity to speak to somebody. And they're very, very concerned for your health and your mind and your well-being because you're having an illicit affair with your cat."
That's a good story.
Well, when he told me that, he was like, 'cause I knew he named his cat Sweetness. It's funny.
Because I have had, in the last week...
Is that your kitty, or is that someone you have tied up?
In the background, meowing like a cat.
What are you doing with a cat? Cats are for women.
I mean, you're such a like a grump.
Well, you know, it's funny when I lost my son, and I got a cat, and I put all the love I would have put into my son into the cat.
Really?
You know, so there really was a reason that I got the cat.
Yeah.
See what happens when you're insensitive, Sam? You hear a story like that.
Yeah, thank you.
You get to take the foot out of your mouth. Sorry.
But there's a couple other things that have happened, actually, since the last time we spoke.
Yeah, go ahead.
Last weekend was a lesbian operation.
Right.
Which was, I've become more of like Walter Cronkite at the scene of a traumatic experience now. I'm like, there is, we're standing here on the side and we're watching lesbian operation. She touched the sides, removed that poker from her ass. You know, I mean,
okay, so you're not as involved, you're more observing.
Yeah, You know, I tell you, if I had a digital recorder, I could really, really get into it.
Yeah. All right.
But it became quite funny.
No,
and,
go ahead. So,
I had the most interesting experience last night.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because, Sherry, I've actually been able to understand a little bit of what you go through now.
What do you mean? I'm like, oh, God, I'm scared.
Yeah, she's going through a lot of shit.
Call me.
The way?
And, she's decided, what did she call me? That's another story in itself. She called me to discuss things amongst us as friends, and it was unbeknown to me, since I was discussing with her the fact that I'm getting into broadcasting again myself. Thank you, guys. Oh. And I'm actually doing bits and commercials and stuff that I've been working on. And in the process of doing so, she said, you should name your overnight voice Midnight Raven. It's such a bedroom voice, you know. And in the process of this conversation, somehow or another, I heard this noise in the background, and she alerted me to the fact that she had gotten off three times in the midst of our conversation to my voice.
That's
and I was absolutely floored, because for the first time, I actually understood what the girls were doing with you.
Mm.
And
so did it make
flattering.
You feel violated?
Yes. But what made me feel violated was when she told me that she had this huge vibrator named Thumper.
Mm-hmm.
That she wanted to use on me in a very inappropriate place. And no, it wasn't going up my ass.
No, it's not
now,
going
that's
there,
violation.
No, she wanted to hit me between the balls and the ass. She wanted to hit me in my taint.
Yeah, your taint. She wanted... What? She wanted
sorry,
to do what to your taint?
The bumper's going anywhere near some place that it ain't supposed to be.
There you go, man. Yeah, you stay away from women like that.
You know, Tommy, I don't know if I'm going to be able to look at your writings the same way now. I'm going to picture Thumper in your ass. Sorry.
That's great. Thank you, Sherry.
No worries, but I'm glad
thank
you
God,
found...
man, that part is like the uncolored guy. Never had it, never will.
Let me tell you something, Tommy. Now you actually understand what I've been going through as you tell me these things about women getting off to me. Now you can see what it's like.
Oh, believe me, hon. I gained a lot of admiration and respect for you last night. The funny thing is that first thing this morning I got a phone call and I got to do it all over again.
Right, so it's really affected you in a
exactly,
negative
right
way.
Now. I need to go ahead and talk to you guys about it because she's in her office right now working, getting off to it again.
To Sherry's voice.
Well, to Tommy's.
Oh, to your voice.
To Tom.
Oh, to your voice.
To her
now.
Story.
Okay. I don't know where you meet all these women, but you got to send some our way.
Don't our nothing. Your way.
This is why I was speaking to you, Sam. And yes, Sherry, she thought you were hot and would like to do that thing with you, too.
Okay.
But
wouldn't everybody,
these are
right?
people who are being attracted to me because of you guys.
You're giving us the credit for people being attracted to you? Send the check.
No. Attracted to me because of the stuff I've done with you guys on the radio.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Awesome.
Oh, so we were the catalyst for you getting some more ass now. Yeah, send the check in the mail.
There you go.
But, more than anything, I'm glad that we inspired you to get back into broadcasting because I know you said that was something you always loved.
Yes, it is.
So, congratulations.
I've had a couple opportunities out there and out here in the last few weeks, and if everything works out right, I'll be coming out that way just after Christmas, between Christmas and New Year's.
Wow, that'll
and,
be nice.
The future's not written.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Well, you're definitely invited to the studio
yeah,
when you
sure.
come down, man.
I don't know about bringing the lesbians with you, but yeah. Sam might like it.
Yeah, bring the lesbians, with you. We don't even need to ask. You know?
Stop this we and our business. I don't care about the lesbians. I'm bringing straight men in here. Oh, well, I'm glad you're doing well. And you're feeling good?
Yes, I'm feeling much better.
Good.
I think it was the experience of being tied to a bed last weekend that kind of snapped me out of it.
Yeah, pretty wild guy, man.
But actually, to be honest with you, with the change in the seasons over the last week, I've been affected with something that I guess millions of Americans do have at this time of the year, and it's a growing concern, a little seasonal affective disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the little bit of the light being, you know, less during the days and the temperature change.
Right, it brings you down, huh?
I know a couple of people with that, actually. Yeah. I never knew it was anything.
I didn't actually feel down. I just felt physically off, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I mean, there was nothing wrong.
Right.
There was no problems or anything in my life. It was just, it was a physical feeling, you know, lethargic, sluggish, non-motivated, didn't want to do anything kind of feeling.
Yeah.
And that's very not like me at all.
Yeah, but there's something to that, you know, for sure.
No, I've heard my friend send me some articles on it and stuff, all about it.
Yeah.
Because they have it, and of course I just want to be like, just change your mind about it. He doesn't really exist. He's like, shut up, it's a meta, it's scientific. I'm like, oh, I can't argue with science, I guess.
Tommy.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Thank you so much for calling, and we are going to have to get these lesbians on the line sometime.
Well, like I said, if it wasn't for the fact that she was a little shy to speak, she's sitting right here.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. Oh, I see. Okay. That sounds like her. That cat doesn't sound like it meows on command. Come on, what is this?
Spanker, spanker.
Yeah, he's got like a little...
Hold on a second, let me ask you. You want me to spank you?
Okay, thank you.
You guys are
he's
weirdos.
Got a cat that goes on command.
Come here, sweetness. Come here, come here.
All right, Tommy.
Spank her harder, Tommy. maybe I can coax her to get on the phone. I can act like a lesbian for a minute. I have a really fast tongue. Just kidding. Okay.
Ooh. Any comments to that one?
What?
I said she has a really soft tongue.
No, I said fast. Not soft.
Oh, really fast.
Yeah,
whoa.
Fast.
Anyway, okay.
Yeah. Go back, listen to the tape, Tommy.
He's got a woman distracting him in front
of
him.
Yeah, I guess,
on.
Yeah.
Sam, if you had a woman in front of you, you wouldn't even be calling anybody.
Exactly. Who the hell would I be calling? All right, Tommy. Thanks so much, man. Take care and feel good.
Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye now.
He's so fun.
Yeah. He's really fun. And he writes all these things that
you wouldn't even think
that women write.
You mean that he has a sensitive side, Sam?
I suppose.
He's in touch with it. It's not all about...
He's pretty poetic. Huh?
No, he's totally poetic. Like, there's some of the stuff that I read, I'm just like, wow, I want someone to write that about me.
Oh.
I know, I'm so corny.
Yeah,
right?
You women are so just, like, demanding.
Oh, whatever. You know, this reminds me. Okay, so you know how you've always told me that you get really uncomfortable when a woman cries?
Yes.
Every time I listen to a playback and I start talking about my deep personal stuff, you get really quiet and you're like, huh. And I finally realize, because you never have anything to add back to it, and I'm just kind of sharing, like not expecting you to solve anything, but I realize, oh, he's getting uncomfortable because he doesn't know how to respond to that.
No, I'm not. I'm being like a woman. In other words, I'm listening rather than trying to fix
things.
I
thought women just talk.
Well, that's what they're supposed to do, is listen, right?
Well, it's just because it just dawned on me yesterday. I'm like, oh, maybe I'm making him uncomfortable by speaking about these things.
No, not at all.
And then I'm going to start breaking down. And what happens if I cried? Would that make you uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to do it.
Don't do it.
I'm not in touch with my feelings anyway, so the bad ones, everything's on the surface.
Yeah.
So don't worry.
Okay, I won't worry.
We're good.
What about positive news stories for the day?
I read
nothing.
One. Well,
nothing today.
Nothing that was exciting. Like, a lot of it was like healthcare reform.
Like, boring.
Well, I don't really know what to talk about. I can like tell you the news story, but I won't be able to expand on it.
That's good. Then don't.
No, but George Washington University, though, fraternities.
Uh-huh.
You know how fraternities are always based, like they're always so like really aggro and against homosexuals and stuff. And a lot of the hazing and things that they do is homophobic, actually. And George Washington University is this huge college with the whole fraternity system is major there. Anyway, for the first time in all of their history, they are changing their hazing and initiation and everything. There's none of that allowed. There's no like, you know, paddling each other or, you know, pulling your pants down and drinking and peeing.
Yeah.
Like, if they hear any sort of homophobic remarks, you're no longer in the fraternity. Like,
good.
It's like this big movement
that.
And stuff.
Yeah.
Me too.
I think those things are really stupid. You know, all the hazing shit.
Well, they are, but I mean, it's years of tradition, you know, after that, but they literally would do like a lot of things against gay people and a lot of it was based off of it. And so,
and it is gay things that they do, right?
Right. Right. Exactly. Like, they all stand around with their pants down. Like, what men want to do that? Like, I thought about that. I was like, that is so like gay. I don't get it. So I think it's a great thing that they're becoming aware of it. And like, now there is a rule against any sort of that kind of stuff. So beyond just the gay thing, it's also going to be great, you know, for, you know, not drinking so crazily and all that kind of stuff and having some morals in it.
Yeah.
So go George Washington University. Yeehaw. No, that's a cowboy. I mean, rah, rah. We're both wearing green today. Does that mean we're horny?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it just my wife got me this T-shirt.
I love that T-shirt.
And it turned out that everybody loves the color on me.
Yeah,
you know?
Because you don't look all like boring and bland, like in gray or white. Like it gives you life and color.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tend to wear a lot of black and gray and stuff.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, you do. One day you wear white. All like an angel.
Yeah, white.
But you're not an angel. Not even close.
but yeah, sometimes when I put on different colors, it looks good because it breaks the monotony, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And just like when you smile, that breaks the monotony.
I smile all fucking day. Give me a break.
Okay.
Until I leave.
And you're like fucking back out into this damn world.
Yeah.
I went and got an oil change yesterday on my car, and my car is brand new. I mean, well, it has like 5,000 miles, which I guess on this particular car now, it's every 5,000 miles, not three.
Right.
And so am I supposed to believe the manufacturer or the oil change people who told me I have to bring back in 3,000? And they tried putting the sticker up there, and I said, no, actually, my car says 5,000. They're like, it's every, they tried to talk me out of it. Right. So who do I believe?
The manufacturer.
Because they made the car, right?
Yeah.
Then they also tried to get me, as they usually do, to try to make you buy something for your car. And I'm like, my car is brand new. And they showed me my cabin filter. They said, like, I guess the air conditioning and all the stuff that I'm smelling, it's very dirty. And I said, it's brand new. Like, it shouldn't look like that. And he was like, well, you know, when it sits in the warehouse, he said, there's actually rats that go through this. So there's rat poo in there and all this kind of stuff. And I said, so really, so how much is this cabin filter? And he's like, $49.99. I'm like, I can wait. I'll smell rat poo for a little while.
Yeah, I'll pass.
And then I thought,
that's the biggest
bunch of bullshit
I've ever heard.
I know. I mean, and I saw it. He showed it to me, and it was dirty.
Yeah.
But I don't know what normal dirty is and dirty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I started thinking, do they can very well, while you're sitting inside, like, come and show you anything from anybody's car and be like, look, this needs to be replaced.
Yeah.
And you would never even know that it's yours in the first place.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I could have been like, okay, and mine could have been perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But you got to trust people, right?
No.
Or just marry a mechanic. You're like, no, don't trust them.
No, every time before you spend any kind of money like that, ask me first, okay? And I'll
tell you. Well, I just got an oil change. That was it.
Yeah, good.
Okay, so you're telling me I should ask you?
Yeah.
You know about cars?
No, but I know about rip-offs.
Okay, well, I did say no.
Good.
Mainly because I'm broke. If I had extra money, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, do that.
All right, you know what?
That's
I probably
what
need
hope.
A new engine, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they're hoping, you know, that you're going to be scared.
Yeah.
It's a scare tactic.
Yeah, luckily,
you know?
The other guy that was one of the technicians who asked me for my phone number afterwards, like, said to me, he was like, you can wait a little longer on that anyway. And I was like, oh, thank you. He was like, so, maybe I can get your digits. I said, maybe I can get a free cabin filter. And he looked at me. I'm like, I'm just kidding. I'm not getting a cabin filter. You're not getting my number. Bye-bye.
What was he like? Was he ugly?
No, he was just really young.
Yeah.
He was young. He was probably like 20.
Okay. That's too young for you?
I'm 35.
Really? You have to remind us.
I have to remind myself every day when I get out of bed. I'm like, ow, my back. Oh, my knees.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I have anything in common with someone really young.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
And I never think they're dumb because I think I told you that guy from Canada or something writing me saying, why won't I go out with someone younger? And it's not that I think they're non-intelligent. I just don't think they don't have as much life experience.
Right,
you know, and the more life experience you have, the wiser you get,
really.
Yeah,
there's not a lot of topics. I mean, at that age, they still talk about high school and college,
right?
And living at home and stuff.
And granted, sometimes you have like life experiences that make you like grow up faster, but there's still nothing like years behind you where you have to have like where so much happens to you.
No, absolutely.
You know, and your brain still develops. I'm smarter than I was 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
So I think it's much more attractive. I want to be with someone that can teach me something that I can still learn things from. Because I have a big mouth and I think I know everything, which I know I don't. But I want to learn stuff too, you know. So that's why older is more attractive.
Yeah. Well, you've got smarter since you got on the show. You know, I think it's good for your intelligence.
And does it have to do with being around you? Because how else
could I? No, I wasn't thinking that way.
Well, how did I get smarter then?
By being exposed to smarter people than you.
Wow, is it
like
time
some of the
to go
philosophers
again?
We get.
Philosophers, whatever. I can't even pay attention to them because you're busy giving me dirty looks. Dirty looks across the.
Yeah, well, you laugh during an interview at a part that's not funny.
Well, why would I laugh unless it was funny?
Yeah, but...
No. Okay, we'll talk about this off air.
No, we can talk about it.
Okay, go. Tell me. When am I laughing? Let's get into this.
If you have a serious guest on, you don't just start giggling.
But wasn't I giggling at an appropriate part?
Yeah.
You're not even listening to me.
Inappropriate part.
No, you're just saying yes because you know that you're supposed to be like, yes, yes. Okay, fine. I'm...
No, I mean, fine, be yourself, you know, it's fine.
No, at least
you'll listen to it later and you'll go, oh my God, you know, I want to crawl under the desk.
Yeah, well, it's probably because you were saying something or giving me a look. At least I know when you ask, like certain guests, uh-huh. when you ask them to plug their website, at least I don't say, plug your butt.
Yeah, thank goodness
for
that.
At least I've learned who to say that to and who not to say it to.
Thank goodness for that. Deborah Tannen would have killed.
Oh, I would never would have said that to her.
She would have kicked your ass.
I would have never said that to her. That's why I allow you the front seat. I allow you. Oh, like that.
I know. Today I made sure I brought you room temperature water.
I know. That was really nice.
How was that?
I didn't even think. See, you don't remember much.
But I remember that.
Wow, I know. And the book and everything.
You don't remember much.
That's at your own admission. That's your own admission, mister. You say, I don't remember anything.
I don't pay enough attention. That's the problem.
It was really sweet, though. I walked in, you hand me all this stuff, and I'm like,
how nice.
I know, now I'm unexpected every day. No, I'm really grateful for it. I don't think I've had a sip, though, yet. It's only because I had this large coffee that I'm finally finished with.
Yeah, that's a huge coffee.
It's huge, and I don't even feel affected by it. I'm going back to the other coffee place.
Really?
That's like $3 and much more caffeine. $7! Sorry, I can't keep harping on it.
$7 to wake up in the morning.
Well, I wake up just fine.
Yeah.
It's just to come here and keep up with you. Last time I was here on tea, you told me how boring I was. So you're the one that's costing me money is what it seems like now.
Okay.
Before you know it, I'll be on drugs here.
You see, it's always my fault. I mean, I'm already used to that.
Okay, then I'll just keep blaming you.
Exactly. What the hell?
So we'll call my mom another day, I guess?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that wasn't your mom obviously calling. Oh, somebody else is calling. Maybe this is
wasn't
your
that
mom.
A good segue?
Yeah. Let's see. Good morning. You're on the air. Who is this?
This is Blue.
Oh, Blue. Welcome back.
Hi,
how
Blue.
Are you, Blue?
Oh, my God. You guys are so cute for plugging me. I saw that on your website.
Yeah, of course. Of course. You're part of the show now.
See, Sherry, I told you he was like that. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much.
Of course. I mean, you gave us readings while you were driving.
Right.
I mean, what the hell?
You put your life at risk for us.
You know what? This is hysterical, but I just barely woke up because I went to bed super late because I was like always scheming and writing and what can I think of to do in my life, my bucket list. And I was like, wouldn't that be a cool reality show?
Uh-huh. Oh, of you doing readings while you're driving?
And talking to you guys.
Yeah, that would be a cool reality show.
But you're so funny. I wanted to ask Sherry real quick. Sherry, are you Latin?
No, I'm not. But I've had a lot of Latin in me.
Over the years.
I'm not Latin, no.
Because the way you were doing your pronunciation yesterday, I was like, that was very impressive. I would have never known.
Wait, during what pronunciation?
Which one?
You were making, I think, a Cuban.
Oh, yeah. Van. That's because I grew up. Yes. Well, I grew up in Miami, and, you know, it's mostly Cuban. And so my first introduction to really people were Spanish people, and my first boyfriend was, and my second, and my third, and my fourth, and my fifth. So
I was impressed.
Oh, thank you. I try not to sound like if I'm going to do an accent or something, I try not to sound like an idiot. Like, so I try to, you know, find the correct pronunciation. So.
Oh my God, I think you pronounce very good because I'm Latin and.
Oh wow, that's quite a compliment. Thank you.
Mhm.
I should have known by the last name though.
And the thing is, like, I can hear the Spanish pretty good, but I can't speak it. But I know the dialect, and you can always tell, like, if somebody actually can speak Spanish, and you really fooled me.
Thank you. It's also being in the restaurant industry, too. Like, if I want water brought to my tables, I have to talk to the busboys in Spanish.
Oh, or like you say, un gorrito con todo, por favor, sin chile.
Exactamente.
Oh, my God. You say it better than me. But I just wanted to say good morning and thanks, guys, and have a wonderful week. Yeah.
Thank you.
Of
you,
course,
too.
Blue.
We love you.
And like I said, you're always welcome to the studio. Whenever you're ready, just let us know.
Yeah, I want to do it. Yeah, I have kind of like a busy schedule, but I do want to maybe like
yeah, we'll talk about
Friday.
It. Yeah, we'll talk
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, that sounds good. sounds good. Thank you so much, you guys. Have a wonderful weekend.
Awesome,
you
everybody. Too. And go to readingsbyblue.com. In
blue is in the color.
Yeah. Blue is in the color.
Okay, there it comes again. Thank you.
Bye, Blue. Bye. That was one of my favorite things I said yesterday. Anything that embarrasses you makes me happy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Not much embarrasses me, though.
Oh, okay. So I keep saying stuff.
It's just
like that.
I'm like kind of protective of the guests and stuff, you know?
Oh, so yeah, I know. I can tell.
Says something, yeah.
I know. You give me dirty looks when they feel like they're insulted.
You see, it's one thing when they go on Howard Stern and they know what to expect,
right?
You know, but to come on this show.
You want to be respectful.
You know.
Absolutely. And I like that about you.
Until, you know, you feel them out a little bit. And if they go crazy, you go crazy with them, you know?
Right.
Like so that guy that did the Motley Crue book, remember?
Oh, yeah. Neil.
Yeah, Neil.
Zau. Zorzor. What are you doing this weekend?
Why do you always have to put me in that position?
Whoa.
I have no idea.
Right after it just came out of my mouth, I thought, oh, right, he's not exciting, doesn't do anything, he's going to read.
No, but we're seriously thinking of maybe going out of town for a day or two.
Oh, okay.
Over the weekend. So if we can get...
Oh, do it.
Yeah, if we can arrange for everything to run smoothly on the station, we probably will.
It will run smoothly. I'll help you out.
Yeah, you
whatever
will.
Whatever you need. Uh-huh.
Promises, promises.
I will.
Yeah. Trust me, you don't want to get involved in this. There's no night and day in running this station.
Okay.
Yeah,
say
it's
what
a
you
lot
want.
Of work.
Oh, poor you. You know what's funny is that you say, you can ask me anything. And I say, what are you doing this weekend? Why do you always ask me? I can't win around this damn place. Jeez. Well, at least
it'll be an exciting weekend, one way or another.
Good. I'll so at least Monday you'll have some stories for
I'll
me.
I'll make it an exciting weekend.
Monday you'll talk more than me.
I don't know how I'll do that, but I'll try.
5 shots of espresso.
Impossible.
I know. Yeah. I have my friend's 30th birthday that was yesterday. His birthday party's tomorrow night, so
you going?
Get to drink.
Oh, that'll be cool.
Yeah, once the week is over, I get to go out because I don't have to wake up early in the morning for you.
So that means sex for you too if you're drinking, right?
No, Buddhist who's ever listening. It's not what that means.
It's exactly what it means.
No, I haven't done it in 4 months, and I've been drunk in the last 4 months. Yeah. I've been saving myself.
Yeah.
For God.
No, you've drank, though.
No, drank, but sex I'm talking about.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, no.
Drinking and sex.
I can drink without having sex.
Right.
It doesn't have to go hand in hand.
I thought you were talking about
the
drinking.
But I have to drink to have sex.
I understand that.
Does that make sense?
I understand
that. Okay, thank you. But that's not true anymore.
Not anymore.
No. Now I've realized that I don't have to drink to have sex. I just have to get them drunk. That way I look better to them.
I see. So they can't see straight.
Right. And then I'm sober and I don't have to feel bad about it anymore.
There
so I just
you
have
go.
To find an alcoholic.
There you go.
There it is.
There you go.
My soulmate's an alcoholic. On that note.
So, but any big plans? I mean, other than the party and stuff?
I work Saturday
work,
and Sunday
right?
night, yeah. But next week, I took a day off on Friday of my job next week because one of my best friends from high school that I haven't seen in 20 years is flying out to L.A.
Really? Everybody's flying out to see you. That's amazing.
Yeah.
People love you, you see?
Hey.
Oh, she's lovable. What? What's that look?
Because you try to say something nice, but you say it with such detest.
No. Come on.
You know what I love is that
you give me a look like you're constipated.
That was me looking like I'm going to vomit on you for being so mean. You don't even know what you do.
I was not being mean at all.
Oh, look, everybody loves you.
I thought it was fine.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought I
said... Okay, then I apologize.
I said it for the right reasons, and you
okay.
took it wrong.
Okay, oh, I did. And that's my issue. I apologize. I take responsibility.
Yeah, right.
All right.
I'm not going to hear the end of it on Facebook.
No, today. I'm done with it. I let certain things go.
Yeah.
And I'll throw it back in your face later, Samuel.
Thank you very much.
Samuel Sunshine. SS. Boop, boop.
Well, I told you you look great today, so
that's
I did my part.
And you gave me my water, so you're great. And I tell you every day how intelligent you are.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
You do.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
And I don't know how to take it. I don't know how to take the compliments.
Well, you thanked me yesterday.
But I'll work on it.
You thanked me yesterday. That was a nice start.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but that was
a nice start. You know what? Go to hell.
I didn't even mean it that way, and I just realized how that sounded. I didn't
you
even
You really
mean
make me sound like shit sometimes.
No, everyone knows that I would not be at a job
I
where...
I know. I'm not serious about it.
I know, but I'm letting the listeners know. I'm trying to compliment you again, and you're cutting me off.
Yeah, I won't let you talk, because I don't want to hear any negative things from
no,
you.
No, I said I was just about to compliment you, and you're cutting me off.
Okay.
Can I compliment you more?
Yes.
You're going to take it okay?
Yeah.
I was saying that I wouldn't be around at work with someone that I didn't think was great and that I didn't like seeing every day.
Awesome.
And that didn't make me smile. So.
Awesome. Well, that made my day for sure.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, you have a great weekend,
that
Sherry.
That was cheese fest. Thank you. You too. I hope you have fun, whatever you do. And don't, if you, hey, by the way, if you go away,
yeah.
Can you do me one small favor?
Sure.
Promise you'll do it?
No, I don't know what you asked.
They promise. It's not that. Okay, you don't have to promise.
Promise.
If you go away with your wife, don't bring a book.
Don't bring a book?
No.
I'll bring two.
Surprise her.
Don't worry, I'll be into her too. Don't worry. We have special time for each other and for other things.
I know. I guess I thought if you were going away, then maybe
you're right.
You would actually find other things to do.
But we're also going to relax and stuff. You know, I mean, what are you going to do? Sit and look at each other all the time? You know,
I don't know. Have conversation.
Yeah.
Talk. Connect.
We do that every day. We got to change.
All right.
Yeah. If we do, we'll probably go to San Diego or something.
Oh,
maybe
nice.
San Clemente.
It's going to be really nice. The weather, too.
Yeah.
Perfect time to go.
I think so. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, do something. You'll have fun.
I really want to. I need to get away.
Me, too.
Haven't had a major vacation in like 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah, you should do something then.
Yeah.
Take some time
off. We'll try. We'll see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Done. Wow, this is entertaining radio.
Yeah.
We're having just like normal talk. Yeah, all right. So.
All right, everyone. Have a great weekend. And you too, Sherry.
Thank you.
See you all here on Monday.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to the Sam and Sherry in the Morning Show, which airs every weekday from 10 a.m. until noon Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question about the show or you would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please email us at info@latalkradio.com. The Sam and Sherry in the Morning Show is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.